Hebrews chapter 2. Now remember, this is a letter to the Jews, the Hebrews, that accepted Jesus and had been baptized, but were now starting to slip back to believing the Jewish ideas. Therefore, we should give more earnest attention to the things which we once heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's a trouble. People hear the gospel, get baptized, but then the tendency is to just forget the details and the wonder of it all, and listen to other things. For if the word spoken by angels was certain, and every sin and disobedience received a correct recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? They're saying that the old covenant was given by the angels on Mount Sinai, and every sin was punished, every breakage of it was to be punished. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We weren't given a load of laws, you've got to do this and not do that. We were given great salvation, which of the first was spoken through the Lord Jesus and was confirmed unto us by those who heard him, God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and various miracles by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For unto angels did he not subject the world to come, of which we're talking. So we have a higher place, ultimately, than angels. But one has somewhere testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet. So we're made for a little while lower than the angels, just as Jesus was, but then just as he was exalted far above angels, so we will be exalted far above what angels are like now. So we will have more power than they do. So, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, so that he might suffer death. We see him now crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What that means is that our death was his death. And when we're baptized, we accept a part in his death. When you go under the water, that's like baptism into his death. You come up out of the water, it's like resurrection. And so by doing that, you make use of this, that he tasted death for each of us. For it was appropriate for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfected through sufferings. So then Jesus went through a process of being matured or perfected through his sufferings. Jesus was not God. He had our nature, and he was only made complete or perfect, as the Old English has it. He was only made complete through what he suffered. For both he who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. That is the same nature. And because of that, he's unashamed to call them brothers, saying, I'll declare your name unto my brothers. In the midst of the church I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. So the fact that Jesus had to trust in God shows that he was like us, of our nature. That's why this is quoted, I'll put my trust in him, as evidence that Jesus and us were of the same nature. Just as we are thrown at times only onto God, that we have to trust in him alone, because all human help is failing, so it was with Jesus. He was absolutely of our nature. And again, behold, I am the children whom God has given me. Since then the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's Jesus, also himself in the same way took the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So, it emphasizes four times, Jesus also, himself, in the same way, took the same. So Jesus really did have our nature. And why was this? So that he might destroy what had the power of death, that is the devil. Well, what has got the power of death? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So, devil has power of death, sin has power of death. So then, the devil, the false accuser, the liar, the slanderer, the little voice inside you that says, go on, why don't you do it? Why don't you sin? Just this time, lose your temper. Just stomp and have a tantrum. Just let yourself do it. You deserve it. That voice is the devil. That is the great enemy. Not some dragon up in the sky. And anyway, it says that Jesus destroyed the devil. Well, if the devil exists as a fallen angel or as a dragon with horns on, well, it should be dead by now, because it says that Jesus killed him on the cross. But that makes far better sense, of course, if we understand the devil to be sin and the power of sin. That is what was destroyed on the cross, because now the power of sin is defeated, because if we're in Jesus, who overcame it, then we will rise from the grave. Death will not have power over us, as it didn't have over Jesus. So, he had our nature, so that he might destroy that which had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, that means that people are like slaves, because they're fearful of death. And indeed, that is how it is. Because death is the greatest tragedy for unbelieving people. But then all your good times stop. Then all your wealth and all that, you can't take it with you. So they fear death. But we have been delivered from that fear because we have the hope of resurrection to eternal life. And we know that this life is therefore not all. This is just a tiny little couple of millimeters at the beginning of a long, long line that never finishes. For truly, he did not take hold of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham. Now, Galatians 3, when we're baptized, we become the seed of Abraham. We become the children of Abraham. And so Jesus' mission was to save us, not to save angels, but to save us. And that's why he didn't have the nature of an angel. He had our nature, because he came to save us. Wherefore, in all things, he had to be made like unto his brothers, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things that relate to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Because he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Now, when you're tempted, you have a real choice to sin. Shall I sin or not sin? To the right or to the left? Now, God has no possibility of sinning by his nature. Whereas Jesus, when he had human nature, could have sinned. He didn't, but he could have done. And that is not possible for God himself. And it's because Jesus went through that that he's able to help us who are tempted. And he helps us, I suppose, in two ways. One is that when we sin, well, we have a merciful and faithful high priest who can say, yeah, well, I do understand. Although I didn't fail in that way, I do understand how you did it, so I can get forgiveness for you. And then the second way in which he helps us who are tempted is that he gives us his spirit so that we might have his mind, we might have his thinking to overcome those temptations.